This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome and good morning. And we are live on the air on B107.5. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
So we don't have to water the garden today, right?
No.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. So we have we had a lot of rain last night, and that's all right. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
We have happy plants now. What is on the agenda today, Mr. Master Gardener?
First, I just wanted to talk about a plant here for a minute or two, the milkweed plant, because the monarch butterflies are always in the news and should be. The milkweed produces a chemical latex poison, so toxic that it can give small animals a heart attack.
Oh, my.
But the monarch butterfly, as it's a caterpillar, has developed an immunity to it. And the monarch caterpillar can eat the leaves without digesting the poison. Instead, the caterpillar stores the poison in its skin, thus making it poisonous to animals that would like to eat them. Except one bird.
One bird.
One bird has learned over the millennium that and that's the black-eyed oriole, that when it catches one, they can carefully discard the skin and then eat the rest of the caterpillar. And now those are found mostly in California. So it's just interesting how nature adjusts to certain things. You know, just when you think you have a protection system, somebody comes up with a system to get around it.
Yeah, there's always a loophole. Yeah, everything in life.
Yeah. So just an interesting story I wanted to talk about.
Okay, great. And if you'd like to talk about anything, I should mention our phone lines are open. And it doesn't matter what the topic is. You can interrupt and ask away, because that's why we're here for you. So make sure to give us a call if you would like, 814-368-9372. And we're going to be on Facebook Live here in just 2 seconds. I'm watching the countdown as we speak.
Oh, okay.
So there we go. Hopefully it'll work a little bit better than last week. There we go.
All right.
Blocky is all heck, but that's all right. We don't really have any plants to see in the studio anyway.
Yeah. So I better talk about the rain a little bit today. Lots of rain last night. And for those of us that have a lot of annuals that we've planted, or newly planted perennials, trees and shrubs, a lot of rain can wash away all the fertility in the soil. So it's a good idea after a hard rain like that we start to fertilize again. And this can happen throughout the year. And it's just a good idea to get on a regular program of fertilizing your annuals and vegetables. Not so much trees and shrubs. You know, they do have a massive root system, and they will survive. But those annuals and vegetables, good idea after a rain to give them another fertilizer now. Even if the soil is wet, they can still benefit from that. Now, most of the time I say, you know, if the soil's wet, don't water. But sometimes we have to, in this case, just to add the fertilizer to keep them growing well.
Beginner question for you.
Yeah.
I don't know what fertilizer, you know, I have something called plant food. Is that fertilizer?
That's fertilizer, okay, yes. Good. Okay.
Yeah. All right, I'm set.
Yeah, that's a good question, too.
It's like a liquid thing of plant food.
And fertilizer or plant food can come in a lot of different ways. You can get the granular that usually comes in a big bag that you sprinkle around the soil. And every time you water, it rains a little bit, melts, and goes down into the soil to the plants. You can get the soluble fertilizer. Usually that's a blue crystal powder-like, that you put a tablespoon or two in your watering can, mix it up, turns your water blue, and then you can water your plants with that fertilizer. There is also liquid, it comes in a liquid already, that you can hook to your garden hose, mm-hmm. and then water your plants that way too. So there's several different ways. They all work well. It's just what you prefer. But after a good hard rain, it probably has washed away because most fertilizer is water soluble. So the rains will wash it away so that you have to reapply to keep them going strong.
All right.
So I want to, after that, I want to touch on the tomato plant. That's a real hungry plant. It eats a lot of food. So that's one that you really want to keep well fertilized all the time. Unless you have fantastic soil, you know, where you've just added a lot of compost and so on. So it should be all right by itself. But for those of us that have been growing in one spot for a long time, the soil might be becoming a little bit depleted, so we have to add a little bit of fertilizer. And another thing with the tomato plant, real important this time of year, they're starting to really grow tall. We want to keep all the lower leaves off the soil or even near the soil. So any leaves that are hanging down at the bottom, you know, within 6 inches of the bottom of the plant, trim those off, because as a raindrop or even our watering hits that soil, there's probably fungus and bacteria and diseases in that soil. There's nothing you can do about that can splash up onto the leaf. And of course, then they start to grow there because that's their host. So it's a good idea to keep it well trimmed, 6 inches from the ground up, no leaves at all. Won't harm the plant. They'll produce new leaves up higher. And possibly do a little mulch around the base of your tomato plant. And that can come in a lot of different ways. Chopped up leaves, wood mulch.
We did straw this year.
Straw is great. Yeah. That stops that raindrop or water drop hitting the soil and splashing up back up to the plant.
Oh, okay. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
We were just trying to keep the soil moist.
It does that too.
Okay.
Yep. And it regulates the temperature also. Mulch is really a very, very important aspect in gardening. It does so many things, like keeping disease off the lower leaves, keeping moisture in, regulating the temperature so the soil doesn't go up and down through the day, because that will add stress to the plant, and any little bit of stress will show effects on a plant. And matter of fact, if you get too many stresses, it'll kill a plant eventually. So mulch is a real good thing, and it comes in a lot of different forms. Straw is a good one that you use.
Because I was worried when I gotta be honest, when my wife was putting it on, I said, boy, it looks a little thick, or, you know, hey, we can't see the dirt anymore. And I've just never done it that way. So,
but here's one. If you, once in a while, I like to bag my lawn when I mow it, and adding the grass clippings right on top of the tomato plant surface there, the roots, and even piling it up, you know, 3, 4, 5 inches deep. Grass has a tremendous amount of nitrogen in it.
Mm.
So as it rots down, it releases that nitrogen right into the base of the plant, and that supplies the plant so they grow very vigorously. It also keeps the weeds from growing around the base of the plant. Tomatoes really don't like that competition of the weeds growing around there. And it warms the soil. Tomatoes are a tropical plant. They come from South America. So they really like the heat, and that grass clippings, as it deteriorates or rots down, generates a lot of heat, and the tomato plant will really enjoy it a great deal. So that's a good practice.
What if you have a lot of weeds in your yard? Like my yard's like 50-50 grass 50-50, weed.
You know. And most of us are, too.
But you don't want to throw that in your garden, do you?
Well, just around the base of the tomato plant is fine.
Okay.
You know, and a good foot out. That's fine. You know, yeah, some weeds may germinate there, but if you catch them when they're young, they just pull very easily. Don't let them grow to a foot tall.
Right,
then,
okay.
Then they can get to be a problem. So, you're going to have pluses and minuses with everything you do. Even straw can have some weed seeds in it.
Yeah.
Hay will have a lot of weed seeds in it. But again, as you watch them grow, then just pull them out while they're young and you've taken care of the problem.
You make it sound so easy, Master Gardener.
It can be easy if you spend some time out there in the garden. So again, keep those leaves off and near the soil level, especially to the tomato plant, because it's real susceptible to a lot of diseases. We cover that enough?
I think so.
What do you think?
We got the gist of it.
How are we doing?
We're okay. Doing good. All right. Intern Truman's checking it out.
Yeah.
Today. So we have open phone lines if you'd like to ask Bob a question. It's 368-WESB, which is 814-368-9372. Send us an email if you'd like, garden@WESB.com. And we are on Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075. You can put a comment in there and we will respond to you as best we can. What else is on the agenda today, Bob? I have a whole bunch of stuff jotted down.
I do. As you drive around town, you see a lot of daylilies blooming right now. And most of those are going to be what we call the re-blooming. We got a phone call, huh?
Yeah, we
better take that.
That's what happens sometimes when you give out the phone number. People take you up on it. And that's a good thing. Hi, good morning. You're on the gardening show. How can we help you today?
Well, I have a question.
All right.
I have a mole or a vole, one of them little nasty things.
Yeah.
That keeps on getting after my plants out front. I have, spread stuff around, sprayed the plants. It still bites at my plants. What can I do?
Get yourself a French bulldog. My French bulldog gets me a vole or two every year.
Yeah, that's a difficult problem. Have you got mulch around these plants?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So that's one way of deterring a lot of critters. They don't like being exposed in that mulch area. If there's not a lot of weeds, they don't like to be out there in the open. So that's one way. Another way you've already tried some of the rodent away products.
How about a good old fashioned snap trap, mouse trap?
Yeah, I'm afraid, there's a lot of ways to trap it. They may not be. May not be everybody's cup of tea, but that's another suggestion.
We put peanut butter in it like you would for a mouse. He ate the peanut butter and snapped a trap.
Oh, but you didn't catch him.
Nope.
Okay. Maybe it's a larger animal, so maybe you ought to go to a little bit.
No, it's definitely because we've seen it after
okay.
We've got cats in the house.
Oh, yeah.
What's right out front of a window, and the cats watch them.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I said, okay, what is it? So I went up, and that's definitely what it is. It's, mole or vole or whatever. So,
yeah. I don't have a lot of good advice for that. It's just something we have to put up right around here in Bradford. We seem to have a lot of wildlife.
Let the cat loose.
Yeah.
Give him what he wants.
Yeah, well, for the most part, they were doing it nonstop for days and days and days on end. They've kind of, sort of, cut back on going after it. So.
Yeah. There are other products out there. I don't really recommend going to too much problem. Sometimes we just have to put up with nature. But have you tried mothballs at all?
Yes, tried that.
Oh, my gosh. You've tried everything.
That was our first thing. That was the very first thing we tried.
And that didn't seem to work either.
Nope. And then we put some, dusting stuff around it, and that didn't help. And then I went out and bought some spray that you could, spray, right on the plant
for
it not to go after and that didn't help.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we set the trap.
And then you set the trap, yeah. Jeez. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hey, if anybody else has a suggestion that has had success eliminating the voles and moles, well, please give us a call.
Yeah, you got anything, Truman?
No.
Nothing. Okay.
No. Oh, well. Hey. Well, sorry we couldn't be of help today, but we appreciate the phone call.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Good luck. Bye-bye. All right.
So sometimes you just can't win over Mother Nature.
It's a powerful thing.
As a gardener, over the years, you just you learn to be a little tolerant. There's going to be some damage one way or another.
Yeah. And with that, let's take a short 30-second break. Thank Worth W. Smith for sponsoring the show. And we'll be right back with more phone calls and more gardening tips from Master Gardener Bob Harris. The Gardening Show on B107.5.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Stay comfortable this summer with a room air conditioner from Worth Smith. Get them while they last. Doing some drainage work? You'll find culvert pipes 6-inch to 48 in 20-foot lengths. Lots of wheelbarrows in stock, too. Doing some camping? Visit their new RV parts department for your quick repairs. There's a big supply of canopies in stock, too. And don't forget to fill up your propane tanks. If you need it for summer, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back. Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And phone lines are open, 368-9372. And go ahead, Bob, take it away.
Okay. It just brought to my mind Truman here. He's never been in gardening, but he finds it fascinating. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some science in the garden
here. Oh, yeah, that's always incredible. You dropped that knowledge on me, too. And I'm like, wow, really? It really gets freaky when you start talking about how everything has, you know, a mind and, like, you know, they purpose, like, plants do this and that on purpose and, you know, yeah.
They do. We find that they do learn and then they practice and they communicate and science is learning more and more about that all the time. But one fascinating fact about plants, most plants have only five resources. And number one is growth. Number two would be defense, then reproduction, then healing, and then vigor. That's just all over health of the plant. And we can change those resources by fertilizing or making an area too friendly to grow in. Now, I'm not saying don't fertilize, because sometimes if we fertilize a plant, will encourage the growth response. And in doing that, the plant has to take away from one of its other resources. So we spur on growth. It may, and probably does most of the time, slow up the defense process in a plant.
Hmm.
So we always have to be on the lookout when we do fertilize and got a plant doing a growth spurt, that it makes it real desirable to pest, like insects and so on, so that we have to keep a closer eye on it. And the same way in reverse, too. If a plant is getting attacked, we got a phone call. We better take it.
You don't have to stop mid-sentence. Finish your thought.
Okay.
That's why I came up with these.
Hold on. Yeah. So if a plant is getting attacked by insects, it raises its defenses, and in that case, it may not have a good reproduction process, or it may even slow up its growth process. So one part of that plant, the resource, becomes dominant, and the other ones start to lack. So be on the lookout for that, too, saying, geez, why is not my plant not growing,
mm-hmm.
even though I fertilized it and watered it? It may be that it's being attacked by insect or even a pathogen underground, you know, could be a disease or a fungal disease being attacked, so that we can try to concentrate on that.
Okay. Would you like to take the call?
Well, if you're ready.
I'm ready. Hey, you're on the air. Good morning. You're on the Gardening Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. I have geraniums. And I brought them in this winter, and I did what you told me to do, and they turned beautiful. In the spring, they were all, you know, green leaves, bushy, blooming, great. I took them outside. I didn't overwater them. I fertilized them, but now they're turning yellow, and the leaves are falling off. Did they go through a cycle, or what's going on?
Yeah, they do go through a cycle, and all plants will do that, too. As a leaf, are these yellow leaves? The lower leaves?
Yeah. And it's going up, you know, it started out like the lower ones. I would just pick them off.
Okay, good.
What you told me to do.
Yep.
And it just seems there's more and more coming. They're just turning yellow. And I don't know if it's just past its prime? Is it going through a cycle?
No, geraniums can grow for several years. So as a plant grows, it produces new leaves, and then it discards or stops feeding the lower leaves. So the older leaves always turn yellow and eventually will drop off. But with a geranium, it's a good idea that you're picking them off. Have you fertilized it recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the thing. I know I put some of those stake things, you know, in the pot.
Okay.
To keep it fertilized, and I don't overwater it. I go out and feel it because, you know, I listen to you every week.
Okay.
Don't overwater. And I thought, what is going on with this?
Yeah. And it's in full sun, right?
Yeah.
Okay. My first questions would have been, you know, overwatering, because that's a common one, but you say you're not. It's common to some of those lower leaves to just abort, we call it, so they'll turn yellow and off. If you keep it picked clean, keep those yellow leaves off, they can't develop any fungus and then attack the rest of the plant. But one other thing you can do, since it seems to be attacking the whole plant, is mix some hydrogen peroxide in water and into a spray bottle and spray the whole plant with that. And then even water it into the soil. And possibly within a few weeks, you'll see the plant perk right up. You may have to do it more than once. You know, don't be afraid to do it, once or twice a week. Once or twice a week, especially depending on the rain. You know, if we get a lot of rain, maybe reapply, and hopefully that geranium will perk up. But get rid of those old leaves, keep them off. Any spent flowers, always pick them off, and give it a fertilizing, even though you do have the
pan.
Pardon me?
Say again?
What'd you say, ma'am?
I said a couple of glugs in the can.
Yeah, you do listen.
She is a regular.
Yep. Yep. It really works very, very well. So that would be my suggestion.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. And let us know if it comes out right for you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a great weekend and good luck. All right. 368-9372. That's 814, of course, 368-9372 to get on the gardening show.
So we were talking about hydrogen peroxide, and what that is liquid oxygen. And a lot of times plants get fungal growth or other pathogens on it, and it robs the plant of some of the oxygen. And so that will give it a big boost and helps out a plant quite often. Another thing that for the people that really enjoy their lawn and take good care of it, if you're seeing some problems in your lawn, one of the old tests to do is the old coffee can test. We call it where the old metal coffee cans, it don't have to be metal, but you have the top off and cut the bottom off and stick it in the soil where you see a problem in your lawn, and then fill it with soapy water, very soapy water. Fill it right up. And then as it drains back down, start watching any bugs or things that can be eating your plant roots that are in the soil will come to the surface.
Oh, wow.
And you can then identify the problem. Now, if you just see one little beetle that came up or one little beetle, don't worry about the earthworms. You know, they'll come up too.
I was going to say, like a worm would be all right, right?
And you won't harm them, that soap. But if you do see any beetle or grub that comes up, then take note of that. One is not really a problem, but if you see more than one.
Like a handful.
Yeah, a okay. handful. Yeah. That's just gardener's measurements.
Okay. Yeah.
If you see a handful, then.
Yeah,
then
you're measuring glugs and handfuls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you probably got a problem and you should do something about it. And there's a lot of different things you can do.
All right. You mind if we take another call?
Let's take another call.
I didn't think you'd have a problem with that. Oh, they hung up.
Oh,
well.
Really enjoy the phone calls, by the way. What else we want to talk about?
Well, you got more notes here. We talked about the grass, the coffee cup, or the can. So it could be like a vegetable can or something like
that.
You just cut off that.
A big one, a gallon size one.
Big old fat.
Yeah. So I did start talking about the daylilies, and they're all blooming around town. And most of those are what we call reblooming daylilies. But to get them to rebloom, after these blooms that are blooming right now are spent, if we trace back that stem that the flower was on, it looks different than a leaf. Trace it back as low as we can and cut it off. We will send that energy. Remember, I talked about those five responses, growth responses. That one was the reproduction response. So the plant is not going to grow very well while it's in producing the seed from that flower. So if we cut them back as far down as we can, we will encourage that plant to reproduce more flowers so we can keep our reblooming daylilies blooming throughout the fall even.
Okay, great.
So that's a good idea. And plus it just gets rid of the ugliness.
The ugliness.
Yeah. None of us like to see that old dead stem sticking up in the air.
I think it's lovely.
So just a pair of scissors or pruners, trace it back and clip it off. Don't try to pull it out because you can end up pulling the whole plant out.
Yeah.
And in doing that, you know, whenever you're doing stuff like that, it's a good thing to just be on your toes looking for any other problem on that plant that you may see. It's a good time to really inspect it closely because you got to concentrate when you're pruning off that dead stem. Because there can be other problems like slugs. So that'll bring me to the part about slugs. Especially after a rain, slugs like damp, cool times, they can reproduce really quickly.
Mm.
And there are slug baits that you can use in order to protect everybody else. I like to put those slug baits underneath an upside down pot so that children and cats and dogs can't get into it. But the slugs will find their way. They can sense that bait is there. They want to eat it. And of course that kills them off that way. Another way, kind of a fun way for me, is go out early in the morning or late in the evening.
A fun way. This is where you get maniacal.
With a salt shaker. And this little bit of salt is not going to harm any plants from a salt shaker. You see a slug, you just sprinkle a couple kernels of salt on it, and it will start to melt away.
And watch the show.
Yeah, watch the show, because it's just like the Wicked Witch of the West, was it, right, on The Wizard of Oz?
I think they all melt when you throw water on them.
It starts melting.
Everybody knows that.
Can turn different colors and so on, and you'll rid that slug of laying a bunch of eggs and producing more slugs.
I can just imagine the cartoon right now. You'd be the supervillain with the slugs as the heroes, right?
Yeah. And if you want to make it more fun, dress the kids all up in their best hunting outfit, and you're going out on a slug hunt.
Throw some salt on them.
Yeah, give everybody a salt shaker, and wherever you see one of them little rascals, just sprinkle a little bit on and watch the show. It's a fun way to get rid of your slugs. Why are you laughing?
I just never heard anybody call a slug a rascal, too. I like you. We have about a minute left in the show.
Yeah, you might as well make any of that fun. So also, I think I've talked about this before. I got a note here, too. Best time to weed is right after a good hard rain.
Oh, okay.
Loosens up the soil. The soil separates. When you pull the weed, even those dandelions that can have those real deep weeds, now you may have to take a little trowel or screwdriver to kind of help that root out if it's a real deep-rooted one. But after that rain, the soil is very loose, and weeds pull completely, root and all. It's important that you get the whole root out of most of those weeds because they can just regenerate and sometimes even multiply by the fact that you have pulled off the top. And that goes back into nature. A lot of plants have learned that, you know, as they get nibbled down by grazing animals, any kind of animal, they've learned to, as a protection system, to multiply then even.
Okay, great. And I'm looking at the weather forecast right now. We might get a little bit more rain this morning. So wait till after that, and then you can do your weed.
Yeah, then you can do your
weed. All right.
Yeah, you might get a little extra dirty, but what the heck?
There you go. It's for the greater good.
Yeah.
And with that, we thank you for another week of your time, Bob.
You're welcome.
Mr. Master Gardener, Bob Harris, and the Gardening Show on demand at WESB.com under the Listen tab, and on Facebook as well, Facebook.com/WESB1075. And we are live every Saturday morning, as you know, right now at 8:30. Till 9, right here on B107.5. We will talk to you next week. Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
All right.